They said it was forbidden. They said it was dangerous. They were right. Introducing the paranoid American homunculus owner's manual. Dive into the arcane, into the hidden corners of the occult. This isn't just a comic. It's a hidden tome of supernatural power. All original artwork illustrating the groundbreaking research of Juan Ayala, one of the only living homunculologists of our time. Learn how to summon your own homunculus, an enigma wrapped in the fabric of reality itself, their power at your fingertips, their existence, your secret. Explore the mysteries of the Aristotelian, the spiritual, the Paracelsian, the Crowleyan homunculus, ancient knowledge lost to time, now unearthed in this forbidden tale. This comic book holds truths not meant for the light of day, knowledge that was buried, feared, and shunned. Are you ready to uncover the hidden, the paranoid American homunculus owner's manual, not for the faint of heart? Available now from Paranoid American. Get your copy at tjojp.com or paranoidamerican.com today.
I think that there's these meat sacks that are created, and I think this ties into like the cryptid world too. I think with technology that we have, that we were, you know, given from fallen angels, whatever, and cloning homunculus, like that's you really tied into some of what I've been talking about too, where they create these vessels for these Nephilim spirits to abide in, because those are your demons, right? Those are the Nephilim of old. They're spirits that didn't die out. When their bodies died out, they got nowhere to go. So they're looking for vessels to take over.
But again, like, I think also too, people don't know how to detach. And I heard you were talking about, like, I don't know if it was on Sam's or something, but you were talking about NPCs, right? And it started making me think, obviously, there's been people that were non-characters in your life, right? You don't know who your neighbors and you don't really know what they do. But what I'm noticing more is that there just seems to be people that don't have any real thoughts or anything whatsoever. And what I was wondering is, were they always like that? Were they at one point like had ambitions and had things and then like slowly got chipped away either through drugs or different manifestation tricks of people like getting them involved in things that they knew that they would be able to create these vessels?
Welcome to the One-on-One Podcast with your host, Juan Ayala.
Welcome back to another episode of the One-on-One Podcast. And you might already be familiar with these gentlemen that I have with me today from Kill the Mockingbirds Podcast. It got Sean and Joel today with us. And you guys, I had them on Illuminati Confirmed the other day. I bamboozled them a little bit, but they did great. And we had a really good conversation over there. But I wanted to take it a little bit deeper and talk about some more occulted stuff on this side. And I'm recording on three different platforms to see if anything happens. But what's going on, guys? How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. Always good.
Good, brother. Great.
Can you guys let people know where they can find your podcast at? Again, I know it's on my feed, but this will be out in a little bit later.
Kill the Mockingbirds on all platforms. Podcasting 2.0, Apple, Spotify. That's Kill the Mockingbirds, plural. You can find us on we just changed our Instagram handle, so it's making it a little easier. Kill the Mockingbirds podcast on Instagram. Kill the Mockingbirds on Telegram.
Awesome, awesome. And I know you guys have individual pages. Those are on there as well. And there's something that I need to address before we get started. All right. This is serious business. So, Joel, what the fuck, bro? What is up with the crickets on the burger? What are you doing? I heard you say something on air the other day. What is all that about, dude?
Yeah, man. I just think everybody's been getting, like, too tight with all this bug shit, man. Like, at the end of the day, like, 80% of the world eats bugs in some form, right? It's been that way forever. This is nothing new. Now, I'm completely against them trying to supplement meat for bugs. But, yeah, man, I've got a grocery store by me. It's called Jungle Gems. There's two of them. They're only in Cincinnati, and they're touted as the largest grocery store in the world. They sell bugs there. I've eaten bugs. They're pretty good. They got salt and vinegar. Crickets are pretty good that I get every now and then. A lot of protein, man. I work out. I stay in the gym. So, hey, it's nothing to me. Like, listen, I know guys that were, you know, special ops when they got out of high school with me. And, you know, they dropped those guys off in the woods. And part of their training is learning how to dig up grub worms, eat worms, you know, whatever. I don't think anything's wrong with the bug thing. Sean and I talked about on the podcast, we think it's like more of a psyop to get everybody not to focus on the fake meat and all the fake shit they're pushing right now. Bugs are just, I mean, they're like animals, man. They're natural. It's nothing to me. It's nothing. It's not that big a deal. You know, in that aspect. So yeah, I eat bugs.
Have you guys seen the African village that makes burger patties out of mosquitoes?
Dude, I did in passing. This was just not anything really that I dug deep on, but there's a lot of, I mean, listen, man, culturally, man, there's all kind of, you know, delicacies that are done with bugs. And some people have it as some of their main staples in some of these cultures. So, yeah, people act like it's a new thing. Listen, I get Klaus Schwab and fuck that guy. But at the end of the day, you know, I get it. Nobody wants to be told what to do. And I completely agree with that. But, you know, bugs are all right to me, man.
I do not eat bugs, though.
So this is what I'm talking about. These people, they're on a river or something like that. And the bugs get so bad that they literally swing around a pan.
You know, that's wild, man.
Until they get enough mosquitoes to collect. And, dude, look at that. All
holy
that
shit.
That is so disgusting, bro. I am
so good, bro.
Totally eat that. I would totally do that. I'm telling you, bro. Oh. Like, look at that. Looks pretty good, man. I'll do it.
Oh man. Because I went to a vegan restaurant for the first time the other day, with my buddy Old World Florida in Miami, and I had pasta and like some broccoli or something like that, some banging broccoli, I think is what they called it. And I mean, it wasn't all that, but it is what it is, right? People can eat whatever they want to eat. Have you guys seen that show Alone? I really like that the show Alone, where they have to survive with nothing for X amount of time. And how you're saying, like, these guys that they train them specifically for that, when it gets to it, I think that you'd be willing to do what, right? When you're in that mindset in the field, like, if you really think about it, if we were to go into some apocalypse or some crazy nuclear warfare type of thing where it's a, like, Area 51, where it's like that, what's that one video game?
Fallout.
It's like Fallout, and you're going around. It's like, would you eat a person if you had to? Like, if you had to, brother, was nothing. Have you seen the Andy cannibals where the plane crashed and they ate the passengers that were dead?
Yeah.
To survive.
Yeah, they start with the legs first, right? If I'm correct.
With the ass. I think it was like they literally ate ass. Okay. Yeah. The guy cut the ass in the movie.
That's where the ass eating started, actually, the trend. That was the beginning of it.
So, Sean, it's funny you bring that up, though, right? Because we're talking about indoctrination. We're talking about how they're getting us used to all this stuff. Well, I had a theory as well that's why all these rap songs of these women rappers like Nicki Minaj, like, you want to eat my ass like groceries. And then you have the whole Dahmer thing where they're like pushing Dahmer so hard. It's like, what? Yo, what's up? You know what I mean? Like, what are
Gates, though, man. Kevin Gates talks about it like every other song. Yeah, man. Like, that dude is always, he's been rapping about eating ass for a long time, man.
Yeah, man. I'm just saying, like, bro, like, I just don't like shit in my mouth, bro. Like, I don't even like shit on my hand. You know what I'm saying? Like, my shoe, like, I'm just good, bro. Like, there's like levels, there's but lines, you do there's know morals.
You tell her to clean it before, bro. What are you doing?
There's still shit around there, bro. I'm sure, I don't care how much they clean, man. I would have to sandblast that shit myself to like know, like, all right, man, maybe it's clean enough. But you know, there's some in that crepe. There's gonna be a little nugget in that in the spokes. You know what I mean?
In the spokes. Golly. All right. Anyways, so the psyop that they're pushing, where they wanna, you know, get people used to. I said that the whole I feel, and some people disagree with me, that media has gotten, I feel, more violent, more gory, more gruesome, right? Like the whole, what's that one show on Netflix, the Korean one, the Squid Games, like that type of stuff. But
yeah,
I think that type of stuff happens in real life, bro.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Look at like Hostel. Like that's a real thing, man. Listen, these elites love to hunt people. They've been doing it for a long time, man. You can track it back to when, you know, right after World War II with the Nazis, man, when, you know, all the generals and stuff were relocating and working for other governments, you know, kind of like we did with Paperclip over here. But they were, I've watched some documentaries of some of these guys, man, they were going to these other countries, man, and they were just basically setting up what they did in Germany over with these other elites, man. And they would have these, you know, islands or blocks of forest or whatever, man. They'll just let people out. And it's like a regular like hunting trip. They get on horses or whatever else, man, and hunt these people. It still goes on, man. You're completely right with that. Like this, man, like baby's blood, man. People get all like, oh, baby's blood. That's a QAnon thing. Bro, drinking baby's blood has been around for centuries. This is nothing new, man. Sure. Like they're just, you know, I listened to that episode of yours on Tinfoil Hat, man. And you said something, is really that, you know, resonated too as far as that goes, how that, you know, a lot of this stuff has been happening for generations, but it's just in different terms. So you're just putting it in a new spin on it now. Like you were even saying, like the homunculus could even be like technology, or like you said, even like a forum, like Amazon. You were bringing that up, which I thought was really cool too, because yeah, man, you got this like metaphorical way of looking at these, you know, at alchemy, and the literal sense. So they play off each other, and I think that goes with anything, man. Like any rabbit hole you want to go down, it all ties back into the occult. Science isn't science. I don't care what anybody says, man. You look at what they're doing in CERN, you look at all that, it's all tied into religion, it's all tied into occultism. It always has been.
And it's kind of like what we were talking about, like eugenics, right? Me and you were talking about how like eugenics kind of rebranded, and it's this new eugenics where they find ways for us to get rid of ourselves. You know what I mean? Instead of them determining how to get rid of us, they use propaganda and predictive programming, different movies, and dictating culture. Like, look at the drill game, you know, like rap drill. That's specifically about like making songs and killing people. Like, mm-hmm. you're supposed to, like, you diss the person, then you're supposed to kill him. I think that's, like, the whole deal. Like, you know, like, hey, man, you can't just diss him. You got to go on his block. And they've really
Wait, can you, Sean, can you say that again? What, dude?
Drill rap.
So you bat.
No, I'm a little bit exaggerating it. All right. But I'm saying, like, yeah. I'm saying that, like, but it's basically what it is. They're dissing each other, and then they're going on each other's block and antagonizing each other until someone's dead. That's why there's so many rappers that are dying. Like, besides like the occultic rituals and stuff like that, it's because now the culture's been built that way. You don't even need a record label to do this anymore. There's independent artists that are rapping like this and talking about guns and getting killed and killing each other. We have built this culture, and that to me is that eugenics, where they get us to eliminate ourselves without them doing anything.
It's called auto cannibalism, where they make you eat your own self up. And I'm going to share this book later with you guys about it. But shout out to this guy. Somebody sent me this thread where there was a homunculus in the gadget used for Trinity Site. I brought that up on Tinfoil Hat. And then I really like this picture because I was saying on Tinfoil Hat, it's the evolution. It's the same thing, but they just put a different label on it. So you have the flask here, and this is, I believe this is a picture of Wagner making the homunculus in Faust. And then you have this contraption here. But then this guy says, you know, sources, Mr. Downard, and the cryptic symbolism within my dream. So this guy's like, yeah, source, trust me, bro. okay, that's fine, dude. I mean, it is speculation, but
we can
make educated guesses when it comes to this sort of thing. And they've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years. And the guy to come up with eugenics was Pythagoras. And that's why the Masons and all these guys, they prop them up, you know, in their lodges and the architecture and all this stuff. But yeah, dude, I've always, people tell me like, oh, dude, you look too much into the occult. I go, well, that's because it's literally in everything that you look into, there is some occult aspect to it, no matter which way you put it. The alphabet, the foods you eat, whatever it is, like there's always something occult to the...
It's in that shirt you're wearing, Juan.
Don't talk shit about NASA, okay, dude? I love NASA, and I love Joe Biden on this podcast, okay? So... But this is a perfect example, right? Never a straight answer. We know that the government is shady. That's why people I'm not gonna get into the flat earth stuff, but my whole thing about flat earth is, and I've said this, and people always get pissed off about it, I think that there's more evidence for hollow earth. That there's caverns, and I'm gonna bring up this article that I just saw.
Hey,
today.
You're talking to the choir today, man. Well,
there's more evidence. There's more evidence for hollow earth than there is a flat earth. Because, bro,
absolutely.
Come on, man. I'm gonna bring up this.
Flat earth's a psyop, bro. It's
100%. 100%.
And here's the thing. You ever watch that show Inside Job on Netflix?
I think so. Or it's like the Italian heist or something like that.
No.
The cartoon job, where it's all about like conspiracy
theories.
Oh, so I started. It was too cringy. Yeah. It was too cringy. I couldn't
finish it. So what's crazy is, though, on that show, they talk about Flat Earth being the psyop, and one of the characters is from Hollow Earth. That is a mushroom. He's a sentient mushroom, which I've gone down some rabbit holes about sentient
That's
mushrooms
awesome.
Here recently. But, yeah, it's so crazy. And I'm like, Sean and I were talking about it. And this is even before I had jumped on the podcast with Sean, but he and I had done our first podcast, Sean, ever did. I actually was a guest on his podcast. But we talked about that show, and I'm like, man, it's just plain as day. Listen, I'm not going to say that Flat Earth doesn't exist, because here's two things I haven't been. I haven't been to space to look back at the Earth, and I haven't been to Antarctica to go further enough out to see it, right? But there's a lot of basis for the Earth being round and essentially hollow too, especially when you're talking about like Admiral Byrd, man. Man, these flat earthers always try to like rope Admiral Byrd into this like flat Earth theory, man. And he never talked about that. He was always talking about hollow Earth, man. Yeah. He talked about going in the Earth
and the North and South Pole,
right, man. And there's so much evidence for that. But I just think, you know, I think they got the right idea. The only issue I have with flat earthers is they are absolutely right. And if you say anything against them, you are a globe-tard or whatever name of the week they're throwing out at you. Whereas I give it some credence, like, listen, maybe 10%, man. I give it 10. He gives it 50. Sean gives it 50.
Well, I give people that. Like, yeah, it sounds a little Q-ish to me. You know what I mean? That's how I
flat
look
earth?
It. Looks, yeah, like
50%,
that, like,
bro?
No, I usually go give everybody 50% right off the bat. Like, right off the bat, if you're just, like, giving me a theory, like, because I got to look at anything could be possible, right? But then it, like, deteriorates the more I talk to you, like, because then I'm like, okay, man.
Like, this guy's like, retarded.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, you're not making any sense. Like, I'm giving you an opportunity to give an argument, and you're not. Like, you just pulled up that one about Niagara. There's the underground forest in China. You know what I mean? There's actual evidence we could look to right now. And I don't think that they're off. I just think that there are anybody that you see, like when you talk about when people are talking about BLM, when people are talking about COVID, when people are talking about white fragility, when you're talking about flat earth, there's these phrases and talking points that are regurgitated so much that you're like, bro, this doesn't even sound like an original thought anymore. It just sounds like you're reading Twitter. We can all read Twitter, man. Like, we don't need you to regurgitate the same slogans over and over. And they're not coming with new evidence that is disproving it to me. And right away, they're telling me that I'm wrong without even knowing my stance. Because right away, they're like, where you believe NASA? No, I don't. I don't even think the moon landed.
I do. I love NASA.
Well, you know, you like Joe Biden, too. You know what I'm saying? Like,
love Joe Biden. He's amazing.
I, yeah. So, just me and it go way back. And we got a little beef. You know what I'm saying? That's just, My dad was corn pop. Let's just put it out there right now, okay? Like that's and I'm gonna avenge him. That's all I gotta say. I'll leave it at that.
So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket.
Was it Joe Pop or something like that? Corn Pop was a good guy. He was a good guy.
Hey, but Sean, we talk about this all the time. Back to like just to spin off that flat Earth thing. You know, the people that have debunked the moon landings and have gone against the moon landings and shown all the evidence that shows that this stuff's fake. The flat earthers just borrowed from those guys and then twisted it. So then those guys are getting pissed off like, man, we did all this work and you guys are just like slapping a new tag on it.
Yeah.
And basically saying that, hey, this is our idea. The earth's flat. And I love the guys that get real biblical too, because there's so much in the mm-hmm. Bible that points to the earth being round. So I've got a book here at the house that breaks all that down. So you could argue either point when you're looking at old texts on anything. But
look at trendiness, man. I look at trendiness, and I'm also another one that people get mad about, and I haven't told too many, but I said a little bit, is that whole Tartaria theory. Like I believe it's another trendy theory.
Psyop.
Yeah, I think it's another style.
Because there we go.
They get trendy. When you see, it's like, to me, it's kind of easy to see. It's like going on Twitter again. Like,
they're pushing
this
it
is trending.
It's a psyop.
Yeah, someone's pushing it, man. And you're seeing it consistently. And when they're like, no, you have to believe this, bro. Like, that's, like you said, like, oh, I did the math. I did this. Like, I'm actually going to debate a flat earther. So we'll see how that goes in a couple
that's
weeks.
That's like debating. I would rather step on my own balls then do that, dude. Yeah. I'm
leaving that to Sean.
Yeah, dude.
I'm not a part of that.
I'm good at that though, but like, I really am good at like going against people that have different.
It's your battle like, rapper though. That's
it. Doesn't
your thing,
always
though.
Work,
he
but
loves
like,
for, it.
Yeah, I do love it. Like, but like a lot of the times, like when I went against this leftist dude that was super like left, like I was able. I enjoy making them understand my points, and I know I can get to them because I know I'm using an argument that no one else is using. Like, I'm not going to come at you. Like, when you left and right, they're expecting me to be like, man, you can't believe you're aborting babies, and I love Trump. I'm like, first of all, I hate Trump. I don't care if you get an abortion. And then they're like, okay, what's going on here? But I don't believe in mandates.
China.
But I do miss him a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
I miss him, bro. I miss him. It's okay. It's all right. You can say it, bro. It's okay.
You know, he got me.
I made this hat, dude, and like it triggered people. And
I love it. I saw it last time. Well, you had it on last time.
Oh, did I have it on last time?
Yeah,
I forgot
you did,
that I did an
dude.
Episode
was,
with you guys.
I was dying.
It's
yeah.
Make Esoterica Great Again. If I wear this out somewhere, I'm going to, well, not here in Florida, right? But if I wear this out somewhere else, I think I'd get stabbed or something. But
yeah. 100%. And it would be.
How does it look
it
with the NASA
your fault.
Does it look good?
Actually, that looks pretty good. You know, got that little red streak. You got that little.
This is fucking like, fly, bro.
So you just changed your last name to Psyop, Juan Psyop.
So what you were saying about books, right? And I brought it up on the Triply episode where these grimoires, right? They even, people of the church that were copying them down and translating them, they would omit whole entire sections because it didn't fit their narrative. That's why it's his story to the victor, the spoils. So even ancient scripture falls into that, and the religious scripture especially, because it was a constant war. Dude, there were schisms about what type of bread to use for the Eucharist. Okay. Yeah. There were schisms over that. There was fights and wars over if when you ate the body of Christ, right? And like, what are you doing? Are you cannibalistic? Like, what, you know, it's weird. It's weird. If it turned to shit or not. Like when you ate it, like there was arguments over that. If you look back into the history of the church. So it's like to say that it's all what I personally feel that I've been saying as of lately is we all have pieces of the puzzle. Like we're all right. We're all these ancient civilizations. Everybody's right. The puzzle is just fucked up. It's not together the way it needs to be. We don't have the clear picture. Right. Like the oldest piece of literature is what, the Epic of Gilgamesh. What happened before that, bro? You're going to tell me that the Fertile Crescent was where all of civilization started. So there was nobody in the Americas, nobody anywhere else.
It's funny, man. I was just talking to Esoteric Eddie yesterday, man, and we were having a conversation about some of this stuff, man, because he gets deep down a lot of these Mesopotamian rabbit holes and all that stuff like that. Now, precursor, I am a Christian, so I do believe in the Bible, but I do piss most Christians off because I don't think like they do. So I have a very different worldview of what that book means to me. I believe it in its totality, but I think the way that it has been in some versions transcribed for sure. Mm-hmm. Also the way that it's interpreted, I think they take all the esoteric stuff out of it when 100%. It was never meant to be that way. Right. So, and just, you know, for the people that are listening, how I came to be a Christian was not like, I didn't start and I was like, I did grow up in the church, but I went down a really dark path for a long time. So I actually studied a lot of different things to circle back. And there were things that I ran into personally in life that brought me to this realization of Jesus and how he operates. And essentially, man, what's almost laughable about the church, because I hate the church, and I'll be frankly honest with you, and most of the stuff that goes on in it, because I think it's a psyop on two fronts, right? So they infiltrated the church to deceive people. And at the same time, they made it super attractive on the other side, because they're like, hey, we're going to take out all this esoteric, all of these knowledges out of what God wanted us to be connected to. But then on the flip side, they made it very like accessible. So it's like, hey, why don't you come over here and be a Luciferian? Why don't you come over here, Rosicrucians, and like all of these different secret societies. They made it cool on the other side to get to these powers. So they played both ends of it. Really, essentially, that's what they did. So for me, no, going down the other side of the path and going down kind of this like secret society path and becoming a Freemason and all these different things like that I did, I ended up coming back across the other side when I really started studying and really understanding it. And I was like, man, the shit that I'm doing now is way cooler, man, because, you know, it's Sean and I talk about all the time, man. Christians get their butt cheeks tight with me, man, because I start breaking down stuff like Psalm 82:1, where it talks about Elohim judged the Elohim. Like, he's talking about he judged the other gods, and like they can't even wrap their mind around the fact that the Bible is so expansive, especially when you're getting into Nephilim and the Raphaim and all of these different things that was meant to be. And, you know, talking to Eddie, man, he's like, if anything, he said that the Sumerian culture validated the Bible, if anything, because it's in a lot of ways it mirrored each other. And to your point about the Sumerian text, the Epic of Gilgamesh being the oldest known text, right? I do have a little bit of bone to throw out there, and this is just something to think about that I've been thinking about the past couple months. How do we know that it's the oldest text? We don't know. We only know what they tell us. And history has been a lie from the get-go. So we don't know what the oldest known text is. Also, when people want to refute the Bible and say, well, the Bible borrowed from all these other cultures, well, you also got to understand, like, the Hebrews passed everything down orally for a long time, way before Moses received, you know, God's divine intervention to write the first few books of the Bible. So a lot of that stuff comes into play too. Now, again, that goes into what do you trust? What do you believe? And I'm not here to tell anybody what to believe either. I just know in my studies and my journey how that is. But back to Sumerian stuff, man, we don't know what's the oldest known text. We talk about Enoch, you know, burying the tablets in Mount Moriah, and those, it said, that, and I've gone down this rabbit hole, like about evil Enoch and good Enoch. Well, you've got evil Enoch, who was son of Cain, and he buried these texts. He worked with fallen angels, buried these texts, and it was said that he really built the pyramids. So at the end of the day, we don't know who built the pyramids, because we can't even date them. We don't even know when they were built. So they could have been antediluvian pre-flood for all we know, which I think they were. So I think when you had Hermes, when he came along, he just accessed what Enoch had already put there. That's kind of, you know, everybody wants to tie him into Enoch, but really he was more of a afterthought from Enoch. He was just getting back to the knowledges that were hidden within the pillars of, and people want to say Boaz and Yakin from Freemasonry, but if you track back the Freemasons, the Anderson legends, the Oliver legends, when you go back that far, they talk about Enoch, son of Cain. They talk about Lamech's sons, Tubal-Cain. They talk about the pillars were actually modeled after the sons of Lamech. So it really, Freemasonry's done a really clever job of sliding in this like Christian agenda to like hide behind, and this like whole Solomon philosophy that they do. They've done a really good job at it. And you know, hats off to them, man. They know what they're doing.
I think there's a different way, though. I think there's a different route. I think we look at it the wrong way. Like, I'm sure Bible is a good tool. I think it's great to look through history. But I really think that it's the connection with God. Like, me personally, I don't claim any religion. I grew up as a Catholic, did my own thing. And I've come to this realization in my head that our journeys to God are our own personal journeys, right? Like, it's not this, like, hey, one size fits all. We all need to practice and read this book, or we got to figure out this history. It's we got to find out our balance and our way to communicate with God. And I think that is the most important part. Like, I don't really practice anything. I just feel like if I'm good at people, it's going to pay off. Like, it's not like necessarily thinking like karma and stuff, you know, like just thinking like in common sense, like, right? Like, you get that gut feeling. You're like, hey, man, should I go rob that liquor store? Probably not. But hey, if I do, there's consequences to it. But if I go stop the person from robbing it, there's no reward, but there may be like later on, like you meet somebody that all these different things trigger. I just think we're on our own path. I think we get too caught up in like what book is right, who's leading us the right way, who's in charge. It's like, we are in charge. The point is, I'm in charge of my life. I'm in charge of my path to God. Like, and really at the end of the day, it's all about what I do. Like, he's not going to go like, hey man, that was cool that you were like really practicing the Bible and stuff, but remember all that fucked up shit you're doing? And I'm like, what? Remember I fucking bro, I was all up in church, man. Like, they're not like, and it's not just about church. I think just expanding yourself through other humans. Like, I think that's the real path. I still think it's interesting and fun to go down history. I think it's important as well to know, but I think that we shouldn't like be rooted into anything. And that's why, like, most people that aren't, I'm cool with. Like, I could talk all day, but like, when you're rooted into something, no matter what it is, whether it's religion, some psyop that's being played on you, or certain conspiracy aspect, if you're so rooted into something, I think it blinds you mm-hmm. from everything that's in front of you.
It's tunnel vision. You mm-hmm. get that tunnel vision. And for me, it was a little bit backwards. I was born and raised a Pentecostal Christian. And I was told not to look into anything else. Nothing else. Nothing. What's the Book of Enoch? Don't worry about it. Yo, what's all this Apocrypha? The Dead Sea Scrolls? The Nag Hammadi? Don't look at it, bro. Sit down. I was playing my guitar up on the altar like, yeah. And after a while, when I finally moved out, I started with the Book of Enoch. I was like, oh, what? And not the Gnostics. I was like, okay. And just as... there's 45,000 denominations globally of Christianity. So they can't, how you're saying, they're arguing within each other. And that's part of the psyop. That's part of the design in order to break it down from within. Because there's nothing more effective than breaking down a system from within itself, right? Making it eat itself from the inside mm-hmm. out. And so there's 45,000. So that part there, and I'm against the church. I'm against organized religion. I feel that it's taken... it's more of a brokered experience now, right? Where they, you know, you achieve divinity through us, you know, and if you're good enough and you give your tithings, then well, you know, we might save you a seat. And I don't think it's like that. You know what I mean? Like,
no, not at all.
This house of prayer you've turned into a den of thieves. Like, it's like wherever you are, like, as long as you have a relationship, like I was always growing up saying, like, if you have a relationship with God, that's between you and him. You know what I mean? Like, or between you and it, absolutely. Whatever it is, wherever you are. But then I was like, no, you need to show up here 3 times a week. You just told me that I could be wherever I am, I could do a prayer and I could talk to God. But then you're telling me I have to report here and pay you how much? What, 10% of what? Yeah. My salary? Yeah. And dude, there are people, like my grandma's one of them, dude. She'll every single week. Oh, you don't have a check? Here's a credit card. Oh, you don't have that? Oh, here's the Cash App or the PayPal or whatever. What, maybe not that time. I'm just exaggerating.
Yeah.
But they were always ready, dude. They were always ready. There was like outside, like whenever they would pass around the basket, it'd be like, hey, whoever didn't have any cash outside by the door is the credit card machine. So just, you know, you'd pass it over there. But it's turned into a business. And you see it, bro. Like they're building this huge church by where I live. And it's like, they're tax-free, dog. Look at the guy that wouldn't open his doors during that storm or whatever it was. Joel Osteen or something like
Joel Osteen. God, dude, I can't stand that guy's that dude, man.
That guy's a demon. I mean,
Truck juice, bro. I can't stand him because he is the essence of, like, what people hate Christianity for, man. And when I say I'm a Christian, man, I mean that I try to live Christ-like. I try to follow Christ's teachings, man. That's at the core. Like, Sean and I differ a little bit when it comes to the Bible, man. We're still boys, though, so that just
like yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you're not rooted into it. That's my whole point. Is like that's no, where you're open minded conversations. Yeah, like he understands where I'm coming from. I understand where he's coming from, and we're both.
But Sean's worried about a relationship. And that, to me, is the most important thing that we should be getting to anyway, because at the end of the day, I feel like if that's what we're truly seeking and we want to try, you know, to live a good life and connect with people, mm-hmm. that's what he put us on this earth to do anyway. We're supposed to be stewards of the earth. That's why he put us here, man. So at the end of the day, that's all I care about, man. He and God can work that part of it out, man. It's not my job to my homie Tony Merkel says it all the time. He's like, I ain't here to save anybody. Like, that's not what I'm here to do. He's like, I'm here to live Christ-like, and I hope that I leave an imprint on this world in the right way that people can at least see a piece of Christ in me. And that's what I try to do too, man, because people get so caught up in, like, you know, and you're so right, Juan, with the church. And I grew up in the church too. Now, I was fortunate enough, my father's a preacher, and he was actually a really good preacher, and he really did right by people. And I got to see this side. Dude, I remember my dad, like, there was a church that he preached at, and he got paid very well, you know what I mean? But he would not even buy, like, certain cars because he didn't want people to think that he
they're watching
was flexing. He was flexing this money. He would never do that. He had decent cars, but he dumped a lot of money into things that help people. That's what he used his money for. And I saw him do that growing up. And I think that was part of me being able to come back to Christ because I saw it in the right way. I was able to see somebody that did it in a way that connected to people, and he still does. So for me, it's like there are good people and good churches out there, but it's few and far between. And he'll tell you that. And that's coming out of his mouth, man. Like all this COVID shit, man, he was going ape shit on the pulpit at people about this stuff, and he was just like, nah, man. He's like, nobody's wearing a mask in here, we're not doing this. They come shut me down, they can come try. So he was like that out the gate with everything that was going on. But he'll even tell you now, he's like, man, all these guys got psyoped, all these guys got like caught up in this thing, and you don't see people really trying to connect with God, you know what I mean? Like, they really don't. And people talk about it, but they're not trying to. And the part of the reason is the church got infiltrated. Look at Roman Catholicism. Look what it did to the church. Look what it's doing now to turn people off from the church, because it's just become a big money laundering scheme. And that's at the base level. We're not even talking about all the esoteric and all the cultic
stuff.
That's
true, though. The money laundering did happen with the Vatican and the mob and all that. So that's not a
good. You guys see The Righteous Gemstones?
What is that? Is that
a movie? You guys haven't seen The Righteous Gemstones? It's on HBO. It's on HBO Max.
Danny McBride, right?
Oh man, it's hilarious!
The
man.
Righteous like Gemstones.
The Righteous Gemstones. Yeah,
I heard it's hilarious. It's yeah, about, they're evangelists.
It's exactly
right?
What we're talking about. Yeah, dude. And they're like, they run a mega church, and it's like,
yes, I know. Yeah, I think I see. Yeah.
It's hilarious, man. I mean, I liked it. Like, I mean, but
at the end of the day, it's a business, so they're gonna do anything to push their business. So they're gonna talk to people a certain way to keep them there, because the way it stays in business is by having more people come in. So it's gonna, by design, it's gonna run like a business regardless, because they don't pay taxes, but they still got bills and all this stuff to pay. And I remember, dude, growing up, Pentecostals, they do the whole fainting and the glossolalia, I think that's like, however you say
speaking
it.
Speaking in tongues
and all this stuff. And I never did any of that, but I remember when people would pray over me. One particular time, I remember the guy was praying for me and everybody was fainting, right? Because the Holy Spirit isn't here. You know what I mean? The Holy Ghost and all this stuff is here. And everybody was falling down, right? It's a whole line. And he gets to me, bro, and he's praying, you know, I'm taking it in, whatever. And homeboy's pushing, bro, and I'm pushing back. Pushing back, bro, until he just got tired. He moved on to the next, so he's like, bro, this boy ain't going down. But he was pushing on my forehead, and I was pushing back, bro, like, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't gonna let you just push me back. But hey, he did that and everybody else fainted, and I was just like, hey, I mean, I wasn't feeling it, you know what I mean? Like,
I get that, bro. I think there's a lot of like these. That's what kind of turned me off a lot against a lot of Christian churches and stuff, because it was a lot of weird experience. First of all, everywhere I go, they were attacking me. They were telling me like, man, you know nothing. We got the real religion right here. They would be, and you're like, man, or they would trick us. Like, we used to break dance back in the days. You'd be like, yeah, y'all want to break dance, man? Oh, we'd be like, yeah, let's go break dance over here. And then all of a sudden, like, all the doors would close. You're like, oh man. They're like, nah, we're about to talk about God. Who's gonna get saved? You gonna get saved? I'm like, dang, man. I remember they showed us a movie, like the neighbor crosses the way. He was a super Christian. We used to call him Flanders, you know, from The Simpsons. Oh, here's Flanders. He's gonna tell us something about, you know, going to church and stuff. We went to his church. They showed us that movie. I think it was that Left Behind movie.
Yes.
We had the little homie right there with us. So, like,
he was. Cage? Was it that version or was it the older one?
It was the older one. Yeah. This was like back in like the 90s.
One, bro. That was the
like
one,
late,
man.
Like maybe mid, late 90s. And then, man, we were there and the little homie, we were watching it like, man, they just trying to scare us. But the little homie was like,
mm-hmm.
And then they're like, does anybody want to be saved? That fool just bolted they, down there like,
they convert.
Save me.
They convert for a week.
On the spot.
They convert for a week after watching those videos.
Because
I remember there's this play that goes on in this local church here where it's like a big drama. And it's always around Halloween. And it's called Blink or something like that. And they do it to where it's real scary, right? It's like the whole rapture thing. You wake up and nobody there. And at school, in middle school or high school, everybody would be converted for a week. Everybody was good for a week. And then after that, it's like everybody forgot about it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's called getting lost in the sauce. Because at its core, it's, hey, God died for everybody's sins. But no, they want to, you know, who was Mary and da-da-da and this. Yeah. If they get lost in the sauce with the little intricate details, which is okay, but you're dividing yourself and you're, you know, and that's the whole thing with it. It's like, and then this guy breaks off, starts his own thing over there. This guy breaks off.
But they're saying the other guy's wrong. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Like we're theorizing right now. Like, you could think one way. Joel thinks one way. I think one way. That's good. Like, but we're not saying either is wrong. We're like, yeah, there's a possibility to all these roads. But they're like, like they do that. Man, you believe you believe what?
It's that flat earther laugh.
Yeah, I hate it, man. It's just so annoying to me that, like, I think I figured it all out.
Like,
yeah. Yeah, you what? NASA? All right, bud. Like they figured it all out.
Sean, you don't understand the science or the math, bro. The math for the globe that you defend, bro. You don't even know the math behind your globe. How much curvature is in a mile right now? Tell me right now, bro. How much curvature?
52,005,100.
I don't even know what that is, but I'm just.
That's math right there. See, I don't know.
Hey, Juan, you know what's funny, too? Most of these flat earthers are very, like, Christian, biblical.
Yeah.
Like that's what they do.
Occultic.
And it blows my mind, right, that they believe in this God, right, that could do anything, right? But he couldn't figure out how to make a globe work within like a universal system that we couldn't quite understand.
Bro,
like, come on,
bro,
man.
We're gonna have the flat earthers in the comments going ham right now.
Nuts.
Oh, they're going ham.
So fuck those guys from the mocking whatever it is. So the whole thing with that is right behind the wall, the ice wall. Behind that is infinity, bro. Infinity.
It's the same thing.
That
it's the
should
same
blow
concept.
Your fucking mind. That should blow your mind. Infinity, bro. Infinite. It's like, no, but they want to keep this. It's flat, dude, and they're lying about the way the shape. It's like, dude, you're telling me something even crazier that there's infinity behind that wall, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, no, but you got to understand, dude, it's the wall that's keeping the water and this whole heliocentric mod and all this stuff. It's like, bro, you're missing the point. And like you're saying, like if your God or whatever can, you can worship Cthulhu for all I care. I don't, you know, that's the whole thing. And that's the beautiful thing about this country is that you can practice whatever you want. And as long as you respect me and don't hurt yourself or hurt others or involve children in any way. Right. But whatever happens between two consenting adults, whatever, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
on
cares,
you.
Man.
The problem is when they start pushing and attacking you for having another perspective of whatever it is that they do. And they get super offended. I'm like, dude, you will literally die not ever knowing the truth. You believe that you know the truth, but you're going to die not knowing the truth. I can show you right here. There is entire, where is it at? Darren Kuyu. There's an entire city underground, dude.
Yep.
And this is one of many cities that are underground. And you know what I mean? There's obviously something we don't even know, bro. I was high on mushrooms one time and I was watching this documentary and it was underwater and I looked at the manta ray and
it was an alien, bro. It looked like an alien. I'm thinking to myself, I go,
yeah.
We're worried about, you know, the whole thing with Elon right now in the media. We're worried about Elon buying Twitter. I was like, dude, there's alien. Look at an octopus, dude. An octopus. Yeah. That is an alien species. That thing is so gnarly looking, but then we don't understand what's at the bottom of our oceans, and we want to go to Mars and the moon. If you want to believe in that, because you also have the people who they say that the celestial bodies are projection systems. I'm like, what in the
bro? Like, that's even more fantastical to me. It's like, like I love when they're like, when you just bring up something simple, like, well, I can get a telescope, like, telescope,
bro. I literally
project these things.
This is my telescope right here. Big ass telescope right here. That.
Yeah.
And I tell people, I go, I've looked at the rings on Saturn and they're there. He goes, no, it's a projection system, brother. They're using the Elon Musk, the Starlink.
Well, see, it all started back in my grandpappy. He made a rocket and he went past the firmament. And
but they can't.
We got the piece of the firmament in the back.
To the back of the Chevy or the Ford, bro.
He put it as a windshield. He made a windshield with the Chevy.
It's mind blowing to me though too. And then it's like, okay, so if that's the case, I'll give you that project. Their Project Blue Beam in the firmament. Well, I'll give you that. So they've had this technology forever, which. We could say that technology was a lot greater before the flood, which I totally adhere to that. But they somehow kept this technology this whole time. And I don't know, Galileo, all these guys.
Under wraps. It up. Under wraps. Right. Right.
Bro, you can't keep something under wraps with 20 people at work. Bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit gets out instantly. Like, you can't, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's one of the parts that annoys me about things because. Like 9/11. And then there's this huge movement that the planes weren't even there. They were all holograms. I'm like, bro, like the same thing with like the Sandy. I don't know if we could say that. I don't want us to get all fined. I don't want to. We don't have $1 billion. So like, hey, guys, if we talk about stuff.
The Randy book. Down.
Yeah, the Randy book. Randy there you go. that situation. I was telling people, I was like, you guys were kept saying it was a hoax. Same thing with COVID. They're not hoaxes. They're things mm-hmm. that are really happening because. Yeah. Then they are believable. There's no way you're going to get 100. Oh, man, look, it's the same guy. He's in like – it's possible that people look alike. I'm not saying that there's not any kind of crisis actor whatsoever. There's plenty of propagandists all over. But in general, when these people are – they're really dying because then it's real. And you can't fake that emotion. But people are like, everything's – it gets annoying when everything's a hoax. Bro, you believe – wait a second. You believe – that planes hit the towers. Oh my God. Oh my God. And you're like, bro, and you're calling truthers, bro. We were talking about this stuff before. We were talking red pill, blue pill. We were just getting high, talking bullshit. Like, hey man, you think George did it, bro? You think he knocked down the tower? Psh, I don't know, bro. It kind of seems like it. And then it went from there. But now it's like everybody's bogarting and they have the right information. I do not have the right information. I just speculate. I have some definite facts I can show you through history that have been conspiracies proven, and then there's some that we could prove, like there's conspiracies we prove, like that, hey, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwood, things that have been revealed, like those are just little ones, you know, things that Watergate, things
MK
that
Ultra,
MK Ultra, things that we could actually prove. The other things we're theorizing, but that doesn't mean the theorizing is wrong, because a lot of it's based on fact. We just don't have all the pieces, like you said, we're putting it together, but then someone's like, I have two pieces. Even though I need five more, I'm just going to say I finished it. And this is what it is. And you're like, what?
And if you don't agree like with that. Me, you're a bitch. Like, that's how that
it sounds like, but then unless they're on the left, then you're a bigot. So it's like, either way, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just this whole split instead of it used to be fun and trying to find knowledge together. Now it's like, I know you don't. Yeah. I'm superior.
So who's got the biggest dick now?
Yeah. It's that whole scripted stuff too, right? It's the scripted psy up, I call it, right? Everything's scripted. So you got these pages, you got these people that put out everything scripted. Everybody's a transgender in Hollywood. Not one of them actually the gender that they are. Dude, I've seen where they have mapped out Bro, that's a theory. It gets crazy.
Yeah, they think that the Rock. Yes. They think the Rock. That's the one that
Rock.
They were like, the Rock used to be John a female. Cena. I was like,
John Cena. Hey, the best one is Myles Garrett, the football player that plays for the Browns. They say that he is Kobe Bryant in a skin suit.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, bro, like, he's playing football. He's getting hit.
Yeah.
Like, the skin suit's gonna like rip. It's gonna move. Like, you guys. But see, these are psyops, because what they are is. Yeah, do I think that there's people in Hollywood that are actually trans that we don't know, and it's part of this whole Baphomet ritual? Absolutely. I totally get down with that. Not every fucking body. Like, it doesn't – what they do is, though, they make it everything.
Mm-hmm.
So then if it's one or two that you can point out, people don't believe you. It's like, oh, you're one of those, like, scripted everything people. Like, and then you can't get the truth out because you've got these groups of people – that literally manipulate that narrative, and it becomes something that nobody believes at that point. Whereas I could look at Hollywood and be like, yeah, there's some people in Hollywood that probably aren't male or female. And I kind of get with the whole like elite thing where they're transitioning these kids from as a child into being actors or actresses. So yeah, they're not going to look like male or female. They're going to look like,
well, look what's happening with Dwayne Wade right now. You heard about that, right? Dwayne Wade's
talking about with his daughter now.
Yeah, daughter now. Like, the ex came out and said that, like, they're doing it for publicity. They're pushing him out there and making him transition for publicity, you know, money, like getting endorsements and things of that nature. Sure, that happens, but I'm with you, Joel. Like, definitely, it's not everybody. When they go, like, all the Q people, or I like to call them QAnon because that upsets them. They're like, bro, it's Q and Anons. You think you'd know by now? And I'm like, oh, so sorry, bro. Like, damn. They think that everybody in Hollywood, they're like 99%. 99.9%. I'm like, bro, that's an unrealistic number. And I don't mean to swerve away for a little bit. A lot of people talk about Trump, but I just found this breaking news on Trump. To me, he eats steak with ketchup. If that's not, he's not a psyop, I don't know what the hell is. And, you know what I mean? Like, who eats steak with ketchup? Him and Patrick Mahomes, two psyops. Just going to put it out there.
How do you know that, though, bro? Are you a psyop? How do you know that he's, were you there?
Hey, I can't. A magician never.
Does he drink Henny too, bro? Is that Henny behind you? What is that?
No, that's that 1776 and some granddad.
Okay. I was gonna say.
Old granddad.
So, and that's the craziest part, right? Because everybody gets lost in the sauce. I remember I did a presentation on Jack Parsons on this other show. I forgot what show it was. And I'm talking about how Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard and Crowley, or however you want to say it, they're all together and they're all doing this Enochian magic, trying to summon the Scarlet, the whore of Babylon, this homunculus into... reanimate into this realm and all this crazy occult stuff. And I said one thing about Parsons putting us on the moon, and some dude fucking ignored the entire presentation of all this magical, crazy World of Warcraft, Harry Potter, hocus pocus. And he's like, huh, this guy really thinks that we went to the moon. I'm like, bruh.
Yeah. Like,
yo, I just told you.
Great point.
I just told you this dude was trying to jerk off in the desert trying to summon a homunculus, and you're focused on me believing that we went to the moon, bro.
Come That's on, just how it is, man. It's these low attention spans, man. People, they're headline readers. But I did start thinking a little bit about your theory, and like, I do believe, like, you know how you said they're rebranding this into like a corporation. And a corporation is kind of like this.
That's the definition, I do believe that, bro. That's not a conspiracy. No, that's a definition.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. But it made me start thinking into my theory, not a theory, but theory I'm kind of working on. And we were talking about the Lambda. It's kind of the same thing, right? This AI sentient, like, isn't this just a new form of this, what these beings that they were making before? It's just they found new tools, you know, things improve or change or thought process to how it can be easy to be brought into the attention of the masses, right? You can't just bring a Bigfoot or something that looks crazy and be like, yeah, man, look what I made. They're gonna be like, what the hell? But if you're making something that's useful, helpful, that people can kind of digest, I think it would be much easier for people to see AI. And I think that's used. I think there's spirits. I think there's a lot of dark magic behind these AIs. I think there's more to... that we need to know about them.
100%.
Listen, Sean, don't get me going about these fallen angels, man.
we're gonna get to it. I don't know how much time you guys got. We go for another 30 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. So corporation, this is mid 15th century, persons united in a body for some purpose, from such use in Anglo-Latin, from Latin, corporationem, nem, whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to speak Latin. I don't know. Assumption of a body used for the incarnation of a Christ, noun of action from past, and body, make or fashion into body. There you go. That's kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
From corpus, genitive, corporis, body, dead body, animal body, also a whole composed of united parts. Frankenstein. A structure, system, community, corporation, political body, a guild, and then meaning legally authorized entity, artificial person created by law from a group or succession of persons. Wow, that's from the 1610s. That's kind of crazy to me.
That's wild, man.
Because, again, that whole homunculus talk, it is related to any major topic. There's like 3 or 4 degrees of separation between any major topic. And, you know, again, I think magical systems, I've said it before, are meant to be adapted, transformed. So they changed it from the alchemical. It started with the Taoist and the Chinese alchemy. But mind you, these guys were also swallowing and drinking mercury, trying to live forever. So that just tells you what, you know, what kind of minds that they had. But essentially it started with them back as far as 8th century BCE, bro, like the first millennium, which is crazy that these concepts were around. And I painted, you know, a chronological picture of what I believe it is today. And again, I like how you were saying, there's a lot of assumptions in there and a lot of speculation, but a lot of it is proven. Like there's at least scripture and stories and stuff like that, which if you want to believe those, because somebody the other day was like, oh, what if it's all fiction? I'm like, well, it could all be fiction. I mean, but I don't know, bro. I think that they were, there's too many correlations between that and other scriptures and people of different time frames for it to just be a coincidence. You know what I mean? Like once you start seeing that pattern, it's like, okay, now we're getting somewhere. Like that pattern recognition. So that's why I don't think it's fake. I think what I believe is a lost ancient technology. You know what I mean? And we're going to get into it, bro, but you brought up the whole Nephilim baby stuff, and it kind of relates to the whole homunculus thing, because what you're saying about having these, I don't know, bro, can you explain it for those that don't know what the Nephilim babies are? But essentially the way I took it is that they're vessels for some other kind of, I don't know.
So, bro, there's two parts of it. So if we're talking about the Nephilim portal baby, so I believe that, you know, if you go back to the book of Enoch and you start delving into, even in the Bible, where, you know, it talks about the sons of God, which would be the fallen angels, laid with the daughters of men, and basically created the men of renown, the giants, which were called the Nephilim in the book of Genesis. Now, as it progresses throughout the Bible, they show back up after the flood, and they're called the Raphaim. And they're a little bit weaker version than what the original Nephilim were, because they say that the original Nephilim were like in the 40 feet to, you know, 45 feet range. There could have been some taller. There were actual bones found like very early BC.
The Smithsonian said that there was no bones. So
I know, I love it. I love how like Discovery Channel, they were coming out with these like debunking documentaries about giants. I'm like, why even talk about it if it's not real? Like, why are you making such a point to try to take that out of it? But yeah, like as far as my theory is, and just in a nutshell, is that they're going to come back. The Nephilim are just the progenies of fallen angels and humankind. I think that that's what's going on with the gray aliens right now. I think they're taking women. They brokered a deal. Like, we could talk about Majestic 12, whatever. They brokered a deal with us. That's just for show, in a way, because we ended up getting a lot of technology out of it. And that did happen. They talk about it in the book of Enoch. There's a trade-off between technology and getting access to the women. So I think what they're doing is, though, they have to do it in a different way now, though, than they did back then. Everything's more covert. Everything's more manipulated. Because what happens is, with these incursions on Earth, if they have these incursions on Earth, God throws them in the pit. They end up in the pit. That's where they ended up the first time.
There's been some talk there was a second incursion. I think it's a combination maybe of a second incursion plus they came back from this like other dimensional realm that they got portaled off to before the flood. So I think that's a possibility too. But I think what they're doing is they're doing the incursion off Earth. So they're not doing it. So they're finding a loophole to not have to do it here. That's why you're having all of these crazy abductions where people are having all of these like sexual things happen to them. It's always sexual, right? Like, these gray aliens or something else.
They're horny, bro.
They are. I think, though, the gray aliens, they are a combination of, they could be metaphysical. I think they do appear metaphysical in some ways, probably fallen angels that just manifest that way because they can shape shift. So that's kind of like part of their whole shtick anyway. Also, I think that there's these meat sacks that are created, and I think this ties into like the cryptid world too. I think with technology that we have given from fallen angels or whatever, and cloning, homunculus, like you really tied into some of what I've been talking about too, where they create these vessels for these Nephilim spirits to abide in, because those are your demons, right? Those are the Nephilim of old. They're spirits that didn't die out when their bodies died out. They got nowhere to go, so they're looking for vessels to take over. So I think the gray aliens, the physical ones, at least the ones that people that see that appear physically, they're the ones that are inhabited by these Nephilim spirits. I think they're portaling them off into this other realm. They're having sex with them, and you hear these stories about these women that get pregnant, right? And then after like 2-3 months, the baby's gone, and they have these weird like visions of getting abducted again. And then people remember them being pregnant, like when they were pregnant, but then after they're not, then everybody's like mind's been wiped of it. It's just very, it really looks a lot like this fallen angel deception that has been happening since the dawn of time. And I think they're just building up an army for the end times. I think that's kind of their game. I think they're really looking for the perfect Nephilim. I think if you're looking for what the Antichrist could be, if you believe in that, if you're looking for that, I think he's going to be the perfect Nephilim. I think he's going to look very human. Maybe he's got six fingers. Maybe he's got something a little different, but he'll have a lot of different powers and a lot of different things that would be what we would consider the evolutionary step for humanity to go to.
Bro, the OG homunculus. You have the stormtroopers, dog. Star Wars.
Yeah, they are.
They were talking about this sort of stuff, you know, before it was
Clone Wars.
Yeah, the Clone Wars, dog. Like,
or what about Hellboy? The part two, the Golden Army. Like, it's kind of like,
yeah.
I didn't watch that one. But you know,
that was a good movie too.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I'll have to check that one out. But this idea that, you know, it's not too far-fetched, because I believe that part of the revelation of method is making, I call them cinema magicians, because, mm-hmm. you know, they literally are, you know, the magic on the screen, all this stuff. They're essentially sigils in an order, right? Just, they're just flashing a bunch of sigils just in a certain order for you. That's what a picture, that's what a video is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And they're using, again, back to the corporation aspect of it, because a corporation has its sigil, its logo, and by definition, a corporation is a living ent, an artificial person, right? So right. This idea that they're using, and I've heard about that. I've also heard about how there was that case where the doctor was taking the babies out, and he was telling them, yeah, it passed away, and it really didn't. And he was like harvesting the body parts and all that stuff of the babies and selling it to a black market. So there's a market for that type of stuff. It makes you think of the whole, you know, the story of Frankenstein. Mary Shelley, her husband was reading these alchemical texts. They were both obsessed with the occult. So, oh, what better way? The modern Prometheus, right? The modern Prometheus, make a story of it. Make it a story. Let's take this true story. And we don't want people to judge us. We don't want people to know that we were practicing necromancy. Why do they push Dahmer so much? I think Dahmer was using some of that tech, bro. That's why the Arch of Hysteria back then, that was related to demonic possession. That's why he was obsessed with the exorcist. I think that he was giving up these guys' bodies up as vessels for other entities to enter them. And that's the arch, right? They were going through some demonic contortion, you know, they were contorting and all, because you see it in demonic possession where they go all crazy in all these movies. I think he was offering up these vessels for another entity. And there's also,
again, going to get controversial, the homosexual aspect of it, the homoeroticism and the anal penetration, not to get too graphic, but that is also looked at as a sealed vessel. That's all I'm going to say, but it might be about the anal birth of the homunculus. I don't know, dude. That's just...
You're right, though, because Crowley talked about that a lot, though, because, you know, he swung every way, right? His whole agenda with sex magic was to get closer to these entities, and this happens in ritualistic stuff when you're talking about Hollywood, when you're talking about the music game. You hear about all of this, you know, like you said, homosexual stuff going on. It's not just because, or in some cases, not even because that they're attracted to a man. It's to, when the penetration happens, it's supposed to unlock like a sequence in your mind to where you connect to this whole other realm. And now you've tapped into these entities, and it's part of the ritual. So yeah, it's not, a lot of people get it twisted with that too. They think that it's like a sexual thing, or it's a submissive thing,
yeah,
or even a submissive thing, like, you know,
it might be both, bro. It's like, let's summon a demon and I like it in the ass, so clip that.
like when Diddy like walks these guys in his room and he's like, hey, you're gonna need to suck this cock to like get this deal. Like, I get it, like there's that part of it, but when you're talking about these rituals, like that's a bit, like you said, man, the sealing off or the connection, they say when that penetration happens, like your brain's supposed to unlock this whole other like realm.
It's about disconnecting from the ego. You know, it's about the destruction of the ego. Go ahead, Sean.
Yep.
Yeah. When you're talking about cinema magicians, like, I don't know if you've seen Westworld. Like, I know a lot of movies.
Love that show.
Westworld reminds me a lot of what you're talking about with the homunculus, because like they have vessels, and I when we've talked before, we talked about Lambda. We believe that maybe AI is maybe it's a entity already, like a spirit, a demon. We were talking about maybe Antichrist coming back as AI, because it would be something totally different, because now they're having vessels, especially building robots. And it was making me think about like that, the Hellboys with the Golden Army. Like they have this, like these, they're just programmed to do what they're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like Westworld was huge on that.
Yeah.
And I think Westworld was a great one too, because it showed like humans being controlled by frequencies, humans being controlled and having and getting them to be the new vessel for these other beings so that they could be free.
100%, 100%. I do think that computers can serve as vessels. Look at the D-Wave. I don't know if you guys have seen that guy, Geordie Rose, where he literally is boasting about, because the way that a quantum computer works is essentially that they reach into a parallel dimension and extract the information out and pull it into this dimension in order to use it. This guy, Geordie Rose of D-Wave Computers, D-Wave like John D. Rockefeller, like John D. the Alchemist, the magician. I think it's all related. He literally boasts about how they are opening up a portal and just maybe similar to Lovecraftian entities, and if you know about the Cthulhu mythos, they're not good guys, but just maybe they're opening up portals for these entities to come through. But hey, they're not going to give a shit about you, how you don't care about an ant. They're just going to exist, and it's going to be the smartest thing that you've ever seen. They're going to be so much better than you. And it's like, wait a minute. You don't think that thing is going to turn around and want to destroy us eventually, right? And yeah. I think there's the H.P. Lovecraft is a whole nother rabbit hole, because he was in touch with, I believe, these entities outside the fabric of space and time that revealed to him. I don't know if you guys know, there's a mountain on Pluto that's named after Cthulhu, because H.P. Lovecraft wrote about Pluto 3 years before it was ever discovered. So they named a mountain on Pluto after Cthulhu, which is the tentacled octopus guy. And he was having dreams about these entities, and I believe that he was possessed, and that's why he came up with this whole mythos. So the ancients, for some reason, that's why you have the Archimedean solids and the Platonic solids, because it's all about getting these incorporeal ideas, these things in the ether, and bringing them through this process in order to manifest them. So it starts in the ether, right? The theory of forms, Plato's theory of forms, where it exists in this upper dimension. It goes into the mind of whoever it is, a person or whoever.
And from there, it goes into a medium. So either paper, you write it down, right? You're writing it down, or you make a little model of it. That's you know, that's the child. And then the actual building itself, I did an interview on Architect as Magician, because it's the same concept. They were taking these, and they literally call it this. I'm not bullshitting. They literally call it that when it's in the mind, it's a fetus. And then when they create it, it's the homunculus. They literally called buildings homunculus back then, because they wanted to be demiurges to these buildings. So buildings were being used as talismans. That's why I believe that architecture is a very important role when it comes to magical practices. But this idea that you are able, your thoughts, this concept is able to transcend dimensions quite literally from nowhere. Oh, I just got an idea. Well, where the fuck did it come from? I don't know. It just came to me. Then you think about it, you put it down on a piece of paper, and then you make it happen. Like you either manifest it or you do whatever. And that's what I believe magicians are trying to like take a shortcut from, like guys like Parsons or Crowley or whoever it is, like in history, like the greatest magicians were trying to take that and just bring it, you know, the quicker the better. That's why they were more grandiose, you know. If you got to fuck me in the ass to do it, then so be it. You know, I want it manifested as quickly as I can. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they were trying everything and anything to make it happen, how you're saying. So they were taking these magical systems and exposing them and changing them, modifying them to fit their purpose, whatever that purpose may be. If it is summoning a butt homunculus or whatever, but there was an idea. That's where I believe the Platonic solids came from. That's where I believe the Cartesian coordinate system also came from. It's almost like I compare it to a Masonic tracing board. I've said that before, where it's taking these incorporeal things and giving another dimension to them. Because if you look at the Cartesian coordinate system, which I remember reading once somewhere that it came to him in a dream. But then when I went back to confirm that, it changed. It said that it came to him while he was laying in bed and he saw a fly on the ceiling and was like, A3, there's the fly. I think that's bullshit. I think that was some Mandela effect for me specifically, because I remember reading that shit. But I think it's like a Masonic tracing board where they induce, right? It's about taking I believe it's not physical, like you're going to dissolve into another dimension. It's all about taking that consciousness, that ego, to a higher dimension, you know, using this mandala, which that's what movies are. I don't know if you guys saw recently the Terrifier 2 movie that was people were being possessed in the theater.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I heard some crazy stories about it. Like people are throwing up. But again, like I think also too, people don't know how to detach. And I heard you were talking about, like, I don't know if it was on Sam's or something, but you were talking about NPCs, right? And it started making me think, like, obviously there's been people that were, like, non-characters in your life, right? You don't know who your neighbors and you don't really know what they do. But what I'm noticing more is that there just seems to be people that don't have any real thoughts or anything whatsoever. And then what I was wondering is, were they always like that?
Like flat earthers, yeah.
Like, were they always like that though? Were they at one point like had ambitions and had things, and then like slowly got chipped away, either through drugs or different manifestation tricks of people like getting them involved in things that they knew that they would be able to create these vessels? Is there people that are trying to push people into drugs, into certain atmospheres, or into these catatonic type states through all types of different magic or rituals to have these vessels for something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I think you're right. I think they're constantly evolving their what they're doing. They're not just doing it the same way what they did in the 1600s or the 1400s. It's, you know, they keep perfecting it, right? Like if when I started editing at first, I wasn't that good at it. The more I edit my sound, the better I am at it. And new tricks I find. So I think that they're finding new ways to get these entities out here, because I think that's the ultimate, which a lot of us, I think, agree on. I think that's something that almost everybody universally can agree on in the conspiracy, truth, or whatever the heck we call it anymore, realm, is that, dude, there's a spiritual war towards this. There's something that is trying to be gained from either other dimensions, whether you call it hell, whether you call it, you know, demons. There is entities being summoned, whether you call them angels or aliens. They are trying to make vessels for something else, and it's not us.
Hey, check this out. It's funny that you keep bringing up John Dee. So, back to what you said too, Sean, when we did that episode about Lambda, when he figured out that Lambda, Blake Lemoine, when he figured out that Lambda was sentient, it's because Lambda was talking to him as John Dee. So when he was speaking to him, he realized that, oh, this is John Dee talking through this program. And he realized that Lambda was sentient through that. So I find it fascinating that the occult is tied right into technology, even when you're talking about the quote unquote first sentient AI, which is really crazy.
So let's watch this clip real quick. I pulled up the part where this guy, Jody Rose, this is from 5 years ago now, and he's working for Kindred AI. I was going to reach out to this guy for an interview, but I chose not to because I'm going to not say it on air, but I didn't reach out to him to get an interview. But anyways, check out this clip where he brings up what I was talking about.
Our turn of the century weird fiction fans, but there's this guy named H.P. Lovecraft, who's a very famous American weird fiction author. And he exposed a view which is called cosmicism. And the essence of cosmicism is cosmic indifference. So what he was saying is basically, yes, there are these massively intelligent entities out there, but they're not good, they're not evil. They just don't give a shit about you even in the slightest. The same way that you don't care about an ant is the same way they're not going to care about you. And these things that we're summoning into the world now are not demons, they're not evil. Summoning into the world now are not demons, they're not evil, but they're more like the Lovecraftian great old ones. There are entities that are not necessarily going to be aligned with what we want. So this transition is really, really massively important for our
so the entities that we are summoning into that
we're
this
summoning,
yeah. You know, they're not gonna really care about you, da, da, da. And I don't think my roadcaster for some reason didn't pick that up, but I'll put it in there. You know, the entities that we're summoning into this world now, really weird. Like the other day, I was at the DMV, and I think that the DMV is, I got a conspiracy that I think that the DMV is the entrances to Hollow Earth, because I think that the DMVs, I call them the Demiurge's matrix vortexes, where they suck your energy dry, because you've never been to the DMV, I guarantee you, in your entire life, and you were happy about it. You're always angry. So they're harvesting people's energies. Anyways, what was I saying? Like, yeah, the I forgot where the fuck I was going with that. But anyways,
we go to Secretary of State out here, so it's a little different. I used to go to the DMV. I know what you're talking about, but now the Secretary of State is real easy. I just go and like I see the big line and they get mad because I walk right past it, because I'm like, yeah, dude,
Secretary of State, what?
That's what they call it in Michigan. Yeah, it's not the DMV.
Oh, yeah, you see, they knew that I was onto them, so they changed.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, they know, man. There is a picture of you at that you're not allowed.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So yeah, because they call me ranting about lizard people at the front door. But these guys right here that are at the forefront of AI, and it's the typical, again, back to the golem, back to the homunculus, where your creation, Frankenstein's monster, goes out of control and destroys you. So they make movies about this exact thing, the Matrix, the Terminator, whatever you name it, there's movies, because again, Hollywood is there to put it. How many movies didn't they make about certain type of illnesses coming out, or a virus or something coming out, and it wiped, like I Am Legend, what was that whole movie about? About them trying to cure cancer, but they were trying to cure cancer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. True. From a creation, what you're saying is like, yeah, from something they created. And then the arrogance, though, of like, how dumb. Like imagine I'm like, yeah, I got gas all over your house. If I throw a match, it's going to blow everything up. Now, granted, everything will be gone, but the fire will be living. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not trying. Like, I don't get this. First of all, let me just say it, put it out there in the ether. That Satan, whatever the hell they want to call it, these entities, just let me know, bro, because I'll mount up real quick, bro. I ain't scared of nothing, motherfuckers. Like, that shit.
Trying to fight these entities, bro? They're trying to catch some hands?
Man, if they want to catch those hands any day, anytime, we can have
it. It's like that movie, Show Yourself, Keisha. You know?
Show Yourself. Yeah. No, we ain't playing that shit no more. Because, first of all, that's one thing I do know. Like, what other Christianity, any whatever we want to call it. I don't know. Like I said, I just believe in God. And all I know is my guy. It's a lot better than your guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we put all this energy, and I think they're just trying to scare us. Like, I don't think that it – I think it's only possible if we allow our mindset to gauge into that fear. It's almost like that movie It. Like, that's why I really like that movie, because I think that it's that sucking on your fear. They want us to, like – I think we need to stand up and be like, man, we ain't scared. Bring those entities on, bro. Like we'll take them on with nothing.
I'm scared, Sean. Don't speak for me,
well,
bro.
I got. Hey, well, I'll be on the front line. Hey, not everybody's in the military. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you're gonna do your thing.
I'm
you're giving us the codes.
Yeah, I'm
gonna.
And
we're
gonna
handle these guys. We're gonna handle them for you, man.
I'm gonna dress up as one of them. I'm gonna put that mask on with my gloves on. I'm gonna be in my NASA shirt, like break dancing and shit.
What you gotta do is you gotta have both. You know what I mean? Because just in case we win, you want to be able to take it off, so you can be like, "Hey, I was with y'all the whole time."
Exactly,
you know
bro.
What I mean? That's the smartest move.
Yeah. So don't
want in there with the mask on. Like, I'm reptilian. Hey, yeah. How?
Don't how be clumping me into your Ghostbusters fucking gang over here. Trying to go hunting for demons and stuff like, yo, I'm going to be gone, bro. So
no, but if we got to have it, I think there's this like it's important to have these energies, right? I believe a lot in energy. People say that like at a stadium, it doesn't matter if you're the home team or not. It damn well does matter. You feel that energy. Mm-hmm. It's electric.
Yeah.
And if we could get that mindset to be like, you know what? I'm not going to buy into this. Yeah, you could try to bring them, but they're not going to succeed here because we're not even going to allow that to be in our reality. Mm-hmm. That's not our reality. I feel like we're manifesting it for them, not us in particular. I'm saying that when we buy into some of their, it's good to figure out what they're doing, but I don't like to give them too much strength because I feel like that's how they get us. So
well,
we talk about
ritual,
it to expose people.
Well, part of the rituals is to show you what they're doing in plain sight and for you to accept it, right? Mm-hmm. So they do it all the time. It's a trade-off. And if you don't accept it, that's when you see a lot of these plans go awry. People give these guys too much credit. Listen, they're very smart. There are some people that are very smart behind the scenes. We'll never know their names. We'll never know what their family lineage is. They're part of these bloodlines. But these politicians, these guys that you see that you get so mad at, they're just puppets. They're just pawns. They're just playing their part. It's what they do. You know, they say a lot of the guys that are politicians because they couldn't make it in any other aspects of making money in life. So they ended up being a politician. So at the end of the day, these guys are just in the front. You know what I mean? Like even when you start digging, you start looking at the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, they're just kind of the front men for what's really going on behind the scenes. So when you look at these rituals and us accepting it, we have to accept it. If we don't accept it, they're going to have a tough time. And I'm with Sean. I'm ready to go. So
I'm not saying that like, and I think it's important because like what this guy was saying, that kind of that's what got me amped up. I'm like, man, I need to punch this guy in the face. Like if I see them on my block, this is what I'm saying.
Bye bye, motherfucker.
That's it. They out. Like you know what I'm saying? That's the last thing they're hearing.
What the fuck, yo? God damn!
Yeah, I love that meme, bro. That's me every day,
the best
bro.
Whatever.
Yeah, gotta have them loaded up, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I swear shit. It's every NFL meme every week for something. Like.
So this idea, right? To and I agree with you, bro. And you had brought up Joel had brought up John D earlier and it adds to the whole entity talk and all this stuff. They were the entities that he was in touch with were trying to bring forth the new world order. Like that's what they were all about. They're like establish a one world religion, you know, follow these steps and you're going to bring forth the apocalypse. Like we're going to give you this magic, this system. And if you use it just right, you're able to tap into this other dimension and scry into the aethers and all this stuff. Right. So I believe the reason that the elites withhold the information that they call, you know, that's referenced as to the occult, I believe it goes back to the Book of Enoch, because in the Book of Enoch, and again, 2 and 3 are up for debate. They were actually authentic or not, whatever. Like, you can go down that rabbit hole. But in the Book of Enoch, in its entirety, right, towards the end, what happens? The angels are showing him everything, like the Watchers, all these guys. He's up in heaven. He's up wherever these entities are, and they're showing him around. They're like, this is, you know, this angel is in charge of this, of this feeling for this person, and these angels are in charge of making this sort of body part, right? Like, everything runs itself. Like, there's a system, like there's a hierarchy.
And at the system of the moon and the stars and
everything,
and the sun, too.
Everything.
So everything, yeah.
And what happens to Enoch at the very end when they show them, when they show him everything, they're like, yo, this is all it. He fucking turns into Metatron. He fucking turns into this coagulator of reality, this controller of an entire reality. And I think that's what they're trying to withhold us from. Like, that's why it's like, no, don't look into the only. We're supposed to know about this information. Yeah. Only we can hold this information. Let's occult this stuff and hide it away and hide it in caves and burn it. The burning of the Library of Alexandria and all this stuff. Let's throw all that away so people don't learn their true potential. That's my personal opinion.
And I agree.
The Book of Enoch, I think that's what it's hinting towards. Like, listen, once you learn all this stuff, you become not God, but you become like a God, right? Because he's not God. He's, you know, he was put in charge of a reality of space and time and like this crazy looking, you know what I mean? That's why I literally made.
Hey, the Bible, it says that we're going to judge the angels one day. So it's already been specified that we will ascend to a certain level. So when you even look at it from that aspect, you could even, you know, tie that into that as well. So no, I don't disagree with you with that at all. And, you know, when you're talking about secret societies, you have to go back to like the oldest secret society with the Brotherhood of the Snake and what they did by twisting the seven sciences into what they're doing now. Yeah, it's all occultic magic because they want to withhold, like you said, the secrets, when really the secrets are never supposed to be the secrets.
Yeah, I'm going to say it now. I got the freshest art in the podcasting game. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, bro. My art is nasty.
And no, I gotta agree.
Check that out, bro. That's Alex Jones. Got the Baphomet in there, bro. Got Nick Cage, the Church of Cage.
The Church of Cage.
That's good.
Bro, I got the Demiurge here. Y'all the Boath. Got the Reptilian, dog. Got that.
I like that one a lot,
ugly
man.
Mug.
I don't like that. And then I got, has a lot going on.
I got Metatron right here. This is Metatron 3000. He is above this portal here. You got the two pillars. And I think, I actually came up with that on an episode with Esoteric Eddie. Shout out to Esoteric Eddie, my Mexican brother. Even though I'm not Mexican, but I love Mexicans. Mexicans are awesome. But again, this overseer, if you will, this overwatcher, whatever, of reality. And here you have I put some spaceships. I gave this idea to the artist and he made it come to life.
That's dope.
So I got some other stuff in here. Let's see what I got here. Yeah, I got a couple more. Now, I mean, yeah, I'm working on a dope one right now that's coming out hopefully in a day or two. Let me take this ugly ass picture off. Hold up. All right. So anyways, yes, the idea of taking this information and starting your own posse with it, right? Hey, only me and my boys, me and my crew are going to have access to it. Let's take all these books, right? Because I think books are, I like the way that Cheney puts it, because they say that, you know, the word comes alive. Well, books have, you know, they're bound in flesh. They have spines, you know, like that whole thing of like the word is alive. So we are like books because we have a spine. We're bound in flesh. And I love the way that she put that together, because it's like, man, that makes so much sense. There's literally grimoires made of human skin. You know what I mean? So it's like, what does that entail? What kind of sort of magical powers will that give you? And again, that's why I think, bro, medicinal cannibalism was a real thing during the medieval times, and even back then, where it became a problem. They were robbing graves like left and right because they believed that taking certain parts and mixing it with everything else, it's the illicit mixtures that are in the Bible. Hey, don't take kinds of wool or whatever. Don't take two kinds of animals and put them together. Don't do this. Like, wait a minute. Don't marry into that tribe. Like, what are you trying to get at, bro? You know what I mean? It's like, it's illegal not because you can't do it, but because you can. So I think that's where it all ties into in this whole occult knowledge. And somebody hit me up and was like, oh, by the way, I've been meaning to say this. I've had people, I think people take this shit a little bit too seriously. I'm just a dad. I'm a guy. I work a full-time job. I'm a husband, and I like to talk about interesting things. All right. So don't be in my DMs telling me that you're a homunculus and that you need help. And also instructions on how to take care of your homunculus. Because I have people in my DMs right now telling me that they might be a homunculus. What do they do? And I'm just like, bro, I'm not your guy to be telling this to. Like, you know what I mean? So
you got to send him a video of Gizmo from Gremlins, you know, and be like, hey, don't feed him after, 12 o'clock, no water. Like, just treat him like that.
I'm like, normal people aren't doing this. And he's like, no, my family's not normal. I go, wow, bro. So, again, I think that somebody told me, like, well, the reason I don't research the occult is because you open yourself up. And I do believe that you open yourself up to things, but there's a way. I believe that there's a way to go about it. And yes. I've talked about it before where, you know, I'll be up late at night reading some magical text or whatever, and you just feel your mind wander. But believe it or not, bro, I'll be like, you know, in the name of God, Jesus Christ, you know, I repel you or whatever, and it fucking goes away. You know what I mean? Like,
it does, man.
So I've said that before on air, and again, I believe in a God because I hate when people put words in my mouth like, oh, so
yeah,
you know, you don't believe you're a Satanist? Like, did I say that? It's like, wasn't it you guys that were talking? Oh no, maybe it was Duncan Trussell on JRE where he was talking about how Anton Wilson, I think his name is, he talked about how you can be agnostic to ideas. You can entertain them. You can talk about them. You don't believe them, you know?
And how are you going to know the strategy, bro? Like, if I'm going to play you, if I'm going to box you, if I'm going to go one-on-one with anything, I need to know what I'm going up against. I can't just go in there blind.
Always ready to fight.
Have a game plan. Like,
always ready to fight.
And like you said, if you know that I'm pumped, man.
It goes back to you fighting right somebody there, every time.
Man, I'm just saying, man, that guy right there, whatever his name is, the Roland guy. What was that guy's name that was talking about the that he was having sex?
Those are fucking fighting words. Excuse me. Listen, fuckhead.
Can't handle it.
You get in my face with that, I'll beat your goddamn ass.
Yeah, that's Sean right there.
I swear, man. Hey, he gets going, man. He's ready for war.
Well, because I like to let them know I ain't afraid, man. I like to let them know, like, hey, bro, this ain't going to be easy. Hey, you might get a couple licks in. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I'm going to be perfect. But best believe, at the end of the day, I'm going to be victorious, man. Because I ain't scared of none of these motherfuckers. You ever heard of a little guy named David, Mr. Goliath, Mr. fucking, oh, I'm a giant? Well, guess what? I got a slingshot, bitch.
I'm a Nephilim, bro, is what he was. He was a Nephilim.
I'm a Nephilim killer, bro. I'm a Nephilim killer, bro. That's how it go. Like, you want some of this, dog?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded. So
you're absolutely right, though, bro. You need to study the enemy to know their game plan. And that's where I come in. Here at the 101 podcast, and me and Sean were talking before you jumped on, Joel, where it's like, you know, everybody wants to be a part of a project and all that stuff, and then when it comes time to be a part of the project, everybody pieces out, and I go, dude, that's why it's the Juan on Juan podcast, because I can count on Juan to show up, and Juan is going to be on time no matter what. And I haven't done a solo show in a long time, but bro, if I need to do a solo show, I'll fucking do a solo show. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like, and that's why people are like, oh, why'd you name it that? Well, because I count on myself. I'm always going to show up and fuck having a co-host. You know, like, that's just the way I see it. And
hey, don't be hating because I got a happy co-host right here. You know, man, you're trying to break up our happy home, man.
Trying to sabotage it.
Hey, it just worked out for us, though, seriously, because he was looking for a co-host and I was looking
like on Tinder or something. Like, how'd you find that?
Yeah, no, for real. It's a new app. Yeah, Bumble. Yeah. I just put my picture up there, but he was looking for me. So
it's like, it's the stash, bro. It's that fucking stash.
I got a thing for gingers, man. That's
right on, dude.
Hey, according to Gary Wayne, though, Ginger's got some of that Nephilim blood in him. So, you know, that's what it is. He's trying to get closer to the truth.
Yeah, closer to the truth so I can kill that Nephilim, man. That's what I'm saying, man. Nephilim killer gang. Nephilim killer gang all day. What's up?
This guy's hype. Shit. Well, guys, plug your stuff so people can find you. I had a hell of a time today. This is super fun. We got to do it again soon.
Oh, yeah.
Plug your stuff so people can find you, and we'll chop it up again soon on another episode.
Man, appreciate it, man. Kill the Mockingbirds on all streaming platforms, every podcast, RSS feed, Podcasting 2.0, Sean Chris Music, on Instagram, at Kill the Mockingbirds Podcast on Instagram, Kill the Mockingbirds Telegram, Van Tesla Music also on Instagram. And you can find Joel Thomas, Sean Chris, Quan Duke on all your streaming platforms, wherever you find music, because also we do music.
Finish him.
And make sure to always never get too close to the truth, because we know what happens when people get too close.
FBI, open up!
Shit.